Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we come to you once again on a blessed Sabbath day. A little bit of rain out there, but the place here, Father Yahweh, is nice and warm, and we thank you for the shelter that you give us from the elements. We pray, Father Yahweh, now we pray a special blessing to those out there that are seeking better health. Father Yahweh, some of us here were also sick during the feast, so we pray that you lift us up once again to a better health so we can serve you and also continue to rejoice as we seek your face. We pray a blessing on the message, on the hearing, and on the listening. Father Yahweh, touch our hearts by your words and teach us and instruct us more about your ways so that we can continue to stay close to you and stay on the right path, and also help others and bless them too with the learning that you've shown us. We pray for all your servants all around the world, those of us here keeping your Sabbath and those who probably are already finished keeping the Sabbath. But we thank you, Father Yahweh, that we can be in one spirit as we come to you in spirit and truth. We can't say thank you enough, Father Yahweh, but we just humbly come before you and we pray that you bless us now as we gather together with one mind to look into your scriptures. So we thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for us and also for the correction that you give us day in and day out. All these things we pray, Father Yahweh, in the name of your precious Son, Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Well, as Brother Jim was saying, I told him that I don't have a lot here written down, but he says it doesn't matter whether you have a lot or little, Yahweh's still going to bless the message. And I was mentioning to him that some of the best messages I've done were only like 30 minutes, and so it's not basically how long it is, it's basically what the message is. And we know that when Yahweh speaks to us, it's always going to have an effect on us. So I'd like to say a Sabbath blessing to all of us here, and welcome those that are joining us via electronic device and those who are listening to us live. And also like to welcome Sister Debbie. Haven't seen her in a while, and it was nice that she was saying that the message that I gave once had really helped her husband out, opened up his eyes a little bit. And that's always one of my prayers. You know, it's hard to, as I say, it's hard to offend somebody and then try to turn around and witness to them. So we try to do our best. So we had a blessed feast. I pray those that were sick were still able to enjoy themselves as best as they could. And we're already looking forward to the next festival, which is Pentecost, and that's on May 27, if you want to mark your calendar. We also had a wonderful opportunity to watch Brother Wilson Mwangi. He turned his life around. He turned his life over to Yahweh and Yahshua as he repented. For those who have yet to keep the feast of Yahweh, they're not only commanded, but they're an awesome blessing in more ways than one. And as we went throughout the whole feast and we stayed away from unleavened bread, it kind of felt weird when you were able to eat leavened products again. You know, it was kind of strange. It was like, oh, I get to eat these products again now, you know, especially the sweets. It's a great blessing in more ways than one. And I've been talking to a coworker of mine, Darren Reed. He seems sincere and receptive and also convicted about a lot of things. So some of us here, we already met him, but we'll just stand back and watch how he progresses. Also, I had a blessed opportunity. I've been chatting online with what I feel is a future sister in the faith. Her name's Riza, and she just kept the Sabbath before the Passover, the Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also the last High Sabbath. And she just went to Sabbath, I would say, I guess, yesterday, because in the Philippines they're ahead of us. And she's really enjoying herself. And interesting story that she told me, she had a friend just come with her just to keep her company, you know, while she went there. And the girl's name is Fe, which is faith in English. And she had mentioned to the brothers there that when she was a kid, she had heard the name Yahweh going to school, you know, being a Catholic. And then now she's wondering, how come the people have been neglecting to use the name? And so it seems that she's also drawn, and she's going to ask to have Sabbath off instead of Sunday so that she can go and worship with the brothers and get more information, you know, about Yahweh and the scriptures. So it's a great blessing, especially for me. I don't get a chance to witness to a lot of people, especially in the jobs. Usually at the hotel, you just have people coming in. You know, you do business with them. You don't talk to them a lot about religion. And when you do get a chance, then you want to overwhelm them with information, so then you feel bad. But it's great because as insignificant as we are, and a lot of times we feel unworthy, yet Yahweh, our Elohim, he's using us to call, you know, as a song says. I had a CD that Mike Bannock gave me from England, and there's a song that says on there that Yahweh is calling a people holy for his name out of every tribe, kindred, and tongue, and nation. And it's a beautiful song. And as we can see through the scriptures, there's different callings. But what I want to touch on is basically that those of us in the faith, we're being called to help those outside the faith. And then those that are outside, they're being called in. And so, you know, we have quite a work to do once we're in the faith. We have to help those outside. And on top of that, we have to learn, you know, for ourselves what we have to do and how to go about worshiping Yahweh. I was just looking at a scripture here. In Matthew 20:16, I was using the Strong's Concordance, and I was looking for that verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And when I looked up that verse in Matthew 20, that actually says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I don't know if I wrote it down wrong or I was looking at the wrong scripture there. But anyway, Yahweh is calling many, many people, and Yahshua is choosing some. But we're going to see that, you know, there's going to be a great falling away in the end. And so it's not just that we're called. We have to answer that call and be convicted about, you know, worshiping Yahweh. And then those also that come in, there's many that come in, they investigate, and then they're not so interested after a while. You know, and we can read about that in Matthew 13, that, you know, one out of four actually gets chosen for the different reasons. So given that there's many misleading doctrines out there, let's consider Yahweh's calling. We can see many examples with positive results, and even in the negative results, there are lessons to be learned. We can see and read that after the flood, Abraham was called, and then Moshe or Moses was called to lead Israel. And then we had Joshua called to finish the job Moshe was not allowed to finish. We can also read in Judges where you see the different judges calling to lead Israel after they would fall into sin and, you know, be in bondage to their enemies. So let's go real quick. We'll start out in Genesis chapter 12. I'll just read a verse here. And I have a song in the front of my Bible. It's called Locky Lock, and it's based here on Genesis 12. It talks about, and I shall make your name great, and all shall praise your name. Get up and go to the place that I will show you. It's a pretty nice song. It's a Hebrew song there. But in Genesis 12, we see here, now Yahweh said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went forth as Yahweh has spoken to him. And we see there that it says somewhere that Abraham didn't know exactly where he was going, but yet he went ahead and he followed Yahweh. And in our struggle, you know, in our walk, we never know where Yahweh is going to take us sometimes, because basically, it's his will that we're doing. I never thought that I would move to Missouri and even be up here giving messages. You know, I mean, I used to just dread even speaking in front of a couple of people, you know, especially family or friends. And so it's an awesome blessing. And I don't know what Yahweh has in store for me. You know, I just keep on in the struggle, sharing with the brothers. So we see there even that afterwards, Abraham was so blessed that he had to separate from his nephew. Sometimes that happens. You have two people that are so blessed, they just need to separate. Not that they're enemies or anything like that, but it just works out better that way. And Abraham was so humble that he even gave Lot the choice of, you know, which way to go. And Lot, of course, he chose the better land. But also, let's go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. We'll just look here at Moses. We saw Moses, you know, he was hid for 3 months. Yahweh had a plan for him, and then he grew up in Pharaoh's house. Later on, you know, he committed murder and he ran away, and you know, he probably thought everything was good now. You know, okay, I ran away, I'm safe now, but Yahweh had a plan for him. Yahweh ended up calling him back to save his people. In verse 1 in Exodus 3, it starts out, "Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of Elohim. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, 'I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up.' When Yahweh saw that he turned aside to look, Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' And he said also, 'I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. And Yahweh said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, to bring them up to a land, to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite.'" So here we have Moses. We know what Moses said at first. He said, "Why do you call me? You know, I don't even know how to speak." And sometimes I feel that way too. You know, why did Brother Randy come to me and ask me, you know, to come up here? But when Yahweh puts words in our mouth, it comes out the way he wants it. And the point is made. And if he's calling someone, then the people will take heed. It doesn't matter, you know, if the man knows how to speak or not. And so, also, Yahweh is calling us out of Egypt. You know, a lot of us, we were in the church, we were in the world, we were doing whatever we wanted, especially on Sabbath. And he's calling us, he's using different people to call us. For me, for instance, I would say he used Elder Don Mansager and Elder Jacob Meyer, and also a brother who used to be a Muslim in Chicago. You know, I was watching TV and I heard the message, and I inquired about it, and I started to learn more and more. So my hope is always that as we approach Yahweh humbly, other people see this, and especially when they hear of our background and the things we used to do, and they say, "Wow, you know, that's great that you turned your life around." It always also makes me feel great when even my own family, they can see that, you know, I'm trying to change my ways, you know, considering the stuff I used to do. So we as fleshly human beings, we get into a pattern sometimes, and we put our own selves in some situations which keep us in bondage. I looked up that word evil in the concordance, and in the book of Judges about 8 times it says that the people did evil in the sight of Yahweh. So after Moses died, after Joshua died, after all the elders died, the people kept forgetting about Yahweh, and they kept doing evil. They kept following after the idols of the nations. And then every time, just like in Egypt, they would cry. He would send them a judge. They would do good for about 20 or 40 years, and then the same thing again. So let's look at this over in Judges in chapter 2 in verses, let's see here. at 11 to 14. Judges chapter 2. And I'll read verses 11 to 14. It says here, "Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and served the Baalim. And they forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods from among the peoples who were around them, and bowed themselves down to them. Thus they provoked Yahweh to anger. So they forsook Yahweh and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of Yahweh burned against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies around them, so that they can no longer stand before their enemies." And it's so interesting that we just finished keeping unleavened bread, and what feast was the world keeping? They were here doing, keeping the feast of Easter, which comes from Ashtaroth right there. And you can read more about that in Jeremiah and do some research on that and see that it's a pagan festival. It's an imitation, and it just so happens that it comes right around the time when Yahweh is asking us to keep his feast. The world has, you know, the imitation that they keep. You know, a lot of them, they don't know. It's in ignorance. And I was reading somewhere about traditions that people keep. You know, sometimes it's because our parents or our grandparents did it. You know, but when we come into Yahweh's truth, then we can see more and more errors, you know, in some of the traditions that we were taught and that we kept way back when. So the message that Yahweh wants for us is for us to be free. He wants us to be free so that we can give our attention to him. But at the same time, you know, our flesh gets in the way. We let our flesh get in the way because we're human. And so we have to constantly struggle, you know, to keep on in the right path. I have a Spanish Bible, and one of the translations to the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:5 reads, "You shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your intelligence, and with all your might." And we know that each one of us, we have a certain amount of intelligence. And this is a good thing, because that way we can help one another, whether it be about scriptures or whether it be about lessons in life that we're learning. And so Yahweh calls whom he wills. We don't have an idea who Yahweh is going to call. We just stand back and watch people as they ask us questions, you know, and as they inquire. We do the best to answer the questions. And then if they're being called, you know, they'll come forward. And then we'll just try to continue to help them out. And then if they repent, that means that Yahshua chose them. And then when that point comes, then starts our suffering for Yahshua's namesake. And I don't know if anybody else here did that, but when Brother Paul got immersed, and I also spoke to Brother Wilson, I told him, get ready for your trials right after you get immersed, because they will come. So let's go over to Acts chapter 9. Let's read of the Apostle Paul. We know how this man was like, I don't know, I guess on fire is a small word to use for the way he was going about worshiping Yahweh. But in Acts chapter 9, in verses 15 and 16, in this chapter here, we see that, as a matter of fact, Paul was on his way to get some letters to continue his persecution of the assembly. But see, Yahweh had other things in mind for him. Over in verses 15 in Acts chapter 9, it says, "But the master said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" And back in Matthew chapter 5 also, in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 11 and 12, Yahshua here, he gives us some encouragement. It says here, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And it was great to see that movie, Jeremiah, once again during the feast. You know, it brought out some nice points that a lot of us, maybe we won't get beat up physically by different people, but the evil one will try to beat us up spiritually and throw different things at us. And we keep on getting up, and he keeps on bringing us back down, and, you know, we still keep on fighting. And this is one of the messages that we in the faith try to share with those outside of the faith. Yeshua says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because he overcame the world. He went through everything and even more than we'll ever go through. So, you know, we can have great confidence in that. So first things first, we have to recognize when we're being called. And then, like I said before, those of us in the faith, you know, we have to assist those that are hungry for the knowledge of truth. And then if those that are being called see us being faithful to the word, that's going to help them in being confident. Because a lot of times some people are afraid, oh, well, what are my friends going to think, you know, when they see me, you know, going to church on Sabbath or something like this. You know, they're going to make fun of me, or if I say I don't want to eat any pork, or, you know, go to parties or something like this on a Friday night, what are my friends going to think? You know, we just stand firm. You know, we deal with a lot of persecution, sometimes even from brothers in the congregation, you know, when we have a difference of opinion or something. But those things can easily be ironed out. But for those outside the faith, you know, one thing that I enjoy is when somebody comes from outside and they watch how we interact with one another. They might sit in the Bible studies, and they're just surprised at how much truth Yahweh has given us. Being that none of us, you know, we don't have these degrees and stuff like this. You know, we don't have PhDs in front of our names or anything like that. You know, we're just humble people. They see these things, and, you know, that kind of encourages them even more and more, because, you know, maybe they're just like us. Maybe they don't have a PhD or something like that, but they see that the knowledge they can gain, you know, from keeping the commandments. And the more you keep the feast days and the Sabbath, the more Abba's going to open up your heart and your mind, because he knows that you're being humble, so he's going to give you more. And at the same time, he's going to require more of you. So let's go real quick to Exodus chapter 31. I just want to bring out just a point here. I like to read these scriptures. Exodus 31. Because we see that those set apart for Yahweh are recognized by two traits, a sign and a seal. And over in Exodus 31, verses 17, or I'll start out in 16, it says, "So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." So maybe we have doubts about creation. Right here in the scriptures, we can read that Yahweh made the heaven and the earth. And so when we have doubts, maybe, you know, like these people that teach in evolution, we know that Yahweh did this. And then when we keep the Sabbath, we acknowledge that he did this. And then it's a sign between us and him. And also, let's go to Revelation. In Revelation, I like to read chapter 7, verse 3, and also chapter 14, verse 1. Now, this one talks about the end time, when we have angels pouring down different plagues on the earth. But in 7 verse 3, this angel here, he's told, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bond servants of our Elohim on their foreheads." And so they're given a command there to give Yahweh's people a chance to be sealed. So that, because we're keeping Yahweh's commandments, he's going to bless us. He's not going to give us a curse that he's going to give the world, because, you know, they're in disobedience. In also Revelation 14, verse 1, it says there, And I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. So there we can see the sign, and we can see the seal. And sometimes on official documents, you kind of see that too. You have the person who's in authority, they have their signature on it, and then you also have, you know, their seal of approval, you know, just to make sure, you know, hey, this is the person, you know, who signed this. Yeshua also added that people would know we are his by the agape love, the brotherly love that we have for each other. And one of the stories that we see all throughout the scriptures is of Yahweh reaching out to his people. And sometimes he even has too much patience and mercy. You know, we read of the stories, the good and the bad, and we even read of the things that are happening in our day and age, and how some judges are scared to pass true judgment on certain situations. Sometimes I wonder if that's Yahweh having mercy, but then again, I don't know. I can't say, you know, because we know we have spiritual wickedness in high places too. So in Matthew 24, we know that this chapter is also talking about when Yeshua comes back, you know, the terrible things that are going to happen and the signs that he gives us so that we know that he's coming. On the one hand, you have the brothers. You can recognize them because they love one another. But in Matthew 24:12, it says, "And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." So there's a difference there. The people of the world, they don't know Yahweh. They don't know his blessings. And so their love is growing cold because a lot of it, I think, has to do with greed. You know, you accumulate a lot of things and then you're never satisfied. I think it's in Ecclesiastes. It says that the eye is not satisfied with seeing and the ear is not satisfied with hearing. And so it is, especially with people that have a lot of wealth. You know, a lot of times they're not happy. You know, you have the people that are poor are happier, you know, and they have less. You know, I'm glad we'll get a chance to go to the Philippines. We'll get a chance to see how they do things out there. And from what I hear, you know, some people, they make in a month what we make in a week. And you know, it's humbling to see how they worship Yahweh. You know, they almost want to keep, you know, the Sabbath from sunset to sunset, just totally immersed in the Word, you know. You know, I think that if Yahweh wasn't so merciful, many of us would probably have never repented. And it's mainly because he would have executed the death sentence on us already. You know, he gives us chances. You know, even when we come into the truth, we have his Spirit, we still fall. We still make mistakes. And, you know, he still looks upon us. And when he sees that we repent, you know, he forgives us. And so, you know, we still strive. We still strive and we still struggle. Let's go over to Ezekiel 33 and read a verse there. Kind of line up what I'm speaking on here. Ezekiel 33. I know when Deacon Randy speaks a lot, when I'm sure he dealt with this more than I do. There's a lot of people that think that Yahweh is mean, as Randy says, cruel and vindictive. But look at in Ezekiel 33:11, the message here is for Israel, and the message is Ezekiel's talking to the people. Yahweh says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the sovereign Yahweh, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" So if Yahweh is so mean, why is he pleading with the people, even with the wicked? Why would he send his own son to die for the wicked if he's so mean? You know, he has a lot of mercy. He has way more mercy than we have sometimes. And so this also should show us that we need to be humble. So first, we're being called to come out of the world and our life of sin. And then second of all, we're called to suffer for righteousness' sake. And you know, like the scripture says there, that's also quoted in 2 Peter 2:9. Yahweh has no pleasure that the wicked people die. He wants them to come to repentance just like us. Let's go over now to Isaiah. I want to read another example here because a lot of us, we know about the blessings. You can read about the blessings and the cursings in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. But over in Isaiah, in chapter 48, I want to go ahead and read through this here. It starts out, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called Israel, who came forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of Yahweh, and invoke the Elohim of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city, and lean on the Elohim of Israel. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I declared the former things long ago, and they went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is as iron sinew, and your forehead bronze. Therefore I declared to you long ago, before they took place, I proclaimed them to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my graven image, and my molten image have commanded them. You have heard, look at all this, and you will not declare it. I proclaim to you new things from this time, even the hidden things which you have not known. They are created now and not long ago, and before today you have not heard them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You have not heard them, you have not known. Even from long ago your ear has not been opened, because I knew that you deal very treacherously, and you have been a rebel from birth. For the sake of my name I delay my wrath, and for my praise I restrain it from you, in order to not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my sake I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another?" So we see that in Malachi it says that the sons of Israel, you know, they're not totally done away with. And that's why a lot of us are here, because of Yahweh's mercy. And so we see here that there's a message being preached to Judah, but it's also for us, because America constantly claims that they're a Bible-believing nation. But, you know, by the way we see things going on, a lot of people in other countries, they see that we're nothing but hypocrites, you know, because we're not totally carrying out, you know, what we say. And then even in the Constitution, we can see that the forefathers, you know, they did a lot of the laws that they put into effect. They went right along with the scriptures. But now people want to do away with these things. And then when you have some people, like, for instance, a judge, you know, all he wants to do is have the Ten Commandments there just to look at, just for people to see. You know, they fire him. They want to take them out. They even want to take prayer out of school. You know, I mean, we're not like forcing people to worship Yahweh. We're not forcing them, you know. We're just trying to have morals. That's all we're trying to do. But then, you know, you have the wicked out there that their conscience just bothers them, and they don't want to hear the message. And, you know, sad to say, sometimes when people are coming into the truth, you know, they're distracted by these things. And, you know, family and friends, they put burdens on them. You know, they say, oh, you want to go hang out with those weirdos, with those wannabe Jews, you know. And sometimes, you know, it hurts us because we have to see this. You know, we put effort into trying to help people, and then, you know, they give up. But anyway, we just keep on going, and we try our best. Now, if some of us were grafted in, as it says in Romans, we're grafted in to the olive tree. And then also others are native-born Israelites, for instance, the Jews. They know who they are. They know what tribe they come from. So they're native born. Even if they don't see Messiah now, a lot of them will see Messiah later. Now, for instance, let's say some think they replaced Israel. Now, if that's your thinking, if you share in the blessings, then you also have to believe that you're going to share in the cursings. So we had to rearrange our thinking. And over in Lamentations chapter 3, in verses 22 and 23, I know there's a song about this. It talks about the loving kindness of Yahweh. It says there, Yahweh's loving kindness indeed never ceased, for his compassions never failed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But when you read in verse 39, it says there, why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sin? So how can we sit there and complain about the law of Yahweh? Maybe we say it's not fair. Some of us might think it's not fair, but who's the sinner? Is Yahweh the sinner or we? We're the sinners. So what we need to do, we need to show gratitude and then not just call on him whenever we need something. So Yahweh is going to call until the time all the servants are sealed. And we're doing our best to obey his message and share it with the world. Sometimes we feel like, I'm wasting my time. You know, like Peter said, I'm going fishing, you know. Anyway, but we speak on this topic because I remember when I said, you know, I would be happy if I could just help one person come into the faith. And it reminds me when Brother Mike Martin's mom, she started to get interested in the faith. And I just said to myself, I told Mike, you know, let's go over to your mom's house. You know, she used to go to Sunday church at that time. I said, we just keep her company, you know, on the Friday night. So here's Mike and I, we're talking about scriptures and we're discussing topics and we're bouncing scriptures off each other. You know, sometimes we look over at her and she's asleep, you know. But then as time went on, when we're sitting there discussing things, she'd say, hey, slow down. Where's that scripture you guys were discussing, you know? And then she started to get more and more interested. And then, you know, she came to services. She heard the word. And then she had to be convicted because at that time she'd go to Sabbath service on Saturday and then go to church on Sunday. So after a while, she became convinced that Yahweh is who he says he is and that Yahshua is the true name which is necessary for baptism. So as I begin to see one or more around me, they begin to listen to the messages, get convicted, even come to services, you know, that teaches me that I have to be more patient with the newcomers and not overwhelm them with a lot of information. But also, I have faith that the brothers and sisters here, they're going to welcome them and they're going to also help them. Because sometimes we don't know how maybe this brother or that brother might answer a certain question. You know, they might be rough on the person and then they might get turned off, you know. And so I feel blessed and, you know, I'm kind of happy about this because I didn't know about Darren, you know, what he would do with the tapes. And, you know, he's listening to Elder Allen. He's listening to Deacon Randy and he's enjoying the messages. And as he said, you know, they're pretty harsh, but it doesn't seem to bother him. It doesn't turn him off. You know, he seems to relate to the message. And so that's great that you're hearing the message from different servants, but it's the same. It's the same. And it's saying that Yahweh wants us, you know, to humble ourselves, to come to him, and to learn more about him. Because that's the reason why we were created. We were created for Yahweh's pleasure, you know, to give him honor, to give him glory. You know, he created everything for us to enjoy. We're like the best thing that he created. Because it says that we were created in Yahweh and Yahshua's image. It doesn't say we were created in the Spirit's image, you know. So that's another thing that we have to, you know, take into consideration. And also, being in the body of Messiah, it's a team effort. Everybody's kind of independent. They have to work out their own salvation. But it's a team effort. When we come together, when we sing, we have to be in harmony. You know, when we do the studies, we have to be, you know, in agreement that the scriptures, you know, are the last, you know, the first and the last word. That's where we take our teaching from. And also when there's questions about translations, as we heard last week, that's another thing that, that we also try to stress that if somebody has a question about a verse, let's try different translations and see what we can get from that. Because I remember getting an answer to a question from a paraphrase version. You know, I struggled with a scripture. I went into this paraphrase version, and it laid it out exactly what the verse was trying to say. Maybe the King James wasn't as clear, you know, because of the old English that it uses. So that's why I kind of like reading from the New American Standard, but this one has also a lot of errors in it. So, but we know that the Word of Yahweh doesn't have any errors in it. It's just the translations. So even at the time, from the time of Adam, you know, Yahweh has been calling us. But as we can see in our day and age, the fleshly nature is usually always trying to push Yahweh away. You know, it doesn't really want to commit to Yahweh. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, we can read there, Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It's a simple statement. And it says there, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the law of Elohim, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. And that's a true statement, because, you know, I remember coming to the congregation, you know, just being a fleshly character. You know, a lot of stuff, it went over my head. I wasn't able to grasp it. So I finally sat down and, you know, decided to commit to Yahweh. Then he started showing me the right way. And other people see this. They see when you change. They see your change of life. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, they take notice and they say, well, you know, I can do the same thing, you know, no matter what I've done, you know. So, you know, another lesson that we learn from being called is that we're called to be set apart or sanctified. We're called to walk a certain way. The scripture here says that the mindset on the flesh can't please Yahweh, but in Galatians 5:16, we read there that if we walk in the spirit of Yahweh, we won't accomplish the lust of the flesh. Over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and verse 22, we have the fruits of the Spirit there. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So first, when Yahweh is calling you, he's leading you. So you're like being led by his Spirit. And then when you're obedient, then he gives you a portion of the Spirit. Then you have the Spirit, and that leads you into more and more truth, and it helps you to be more and more obedient. So like we said earlier, Yahweh calls a certain people, and Yahshua then chooses, and hopefully, you know, we repent, then we're still called to continue to try to mend our ways. We're called to come to the feast, as we just did last week, and it will also be the case in the kingdom. We can read in Isaiah 66 that the feast are going to be kept in the kingdom. So we're rehearsing to see what it's going to be like. It's going to be an awesome thing. It says that it just doesn't come to our mind. We just can't really imagine what the kingdom will be like. It's so over our heads, you know, and it's going to be so great that all these things that we go through, you know, are going to seem like nothing, you know, when we get into the kingdom. And, I mean, just imagine ruling with Yahshua. Just imagine that, you know, being told, well done. I mean, that's awesome. You know, you can't put a price on that. So if you miss Passover and unleavened bread, then come on down for Pentecost. And if you can't come for Pentecost, then, you know, make preparations to try to come to Tabernacles. And if not that, then in the meanwhile, then make an effort to keep the Sabbath. You know, it's all going to be a blessing to you. It's not a burdensome thing. As a matter of fact, I see it more of a burden to keep worldly holidays because it brings a lot of stress. You know, you have to please man. You're not pleasing Yahweh. In our day and age, we don't have to have books written under our names in order for us to prophesy. You know, we can still speak under inspiration to get the message of Yahweh's truth to the four corners of the earth. So as it says in Revelation 18:4, it says to come out of the world. It says, come out of her, my people, speaking of the world. Revelation 18:4 says, and I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins and that you may not receive of her plagues. That's one of the reasons why Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were called. And being that Abraham was humble and he taught his household, that's why Yahweh called him. He knew that he would do the right thing, you know. Even when he called him to offer up his only son, he was doing the same thing that Yahweh did for us, except Yahweh had mercy on him and delivered Isaac. And as we read in Acts chapter 9, we're called to suffer for Messiah's name's sake. None of us here can sit here and say that we haven't suffered, because we've suffered one way or another. But yet, it's still a blessing. You know, if we suffer for Yahweh, that's a blessing. It says, if you suffer for doing what is right, then you are blessed in Yahweh's sight. Rather than being punished for being a sinner, better to suffer for doing what is right. Also in 1 Thessalonians, Thessalonians 4:7-8, we see the Apostle Paul here speaking to the congregation, speaking to us. It says, for Yahweh has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the Elohim who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So whenever somebody rejects the message that we preach, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Yahweh. And we can understand. Some people are fleshly. They don't want to hear the message. When we come to that point where we see that somebody doesn't want to hear the message, we just back off. That's it. And we can still keep peace. It says, as much as it depends on us, it says to be at peace with all men, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but I guess that's why it says that. So in closing, I'd just like to say that I guess there's a reason why the psalmist asked himself, who or what is man that Yahweh takes note of him? You know, we were made in the Father and the Son's image. And so he sees humble people walking around. It says in Malachi that when he heard us talking about Yahweh, there's a book that was written. And there were some names written there. And he heard us talking about Yahweh and the awesome works that he does, and the things that he allows us to go through and still delivers us, you know. We can see family and friends around us dying, and it hurts. But after a while, you know, we kind of get healed. And we know that Yahweh does things, you know, for his purpose, even when brothers and sisters in the faith die. You know, that kind of hurts, but there's a scripture that says, you know, precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. Maybe because we won't have to suffer anymore, you know. Especially when we know that when that last trumpet sounds, we're going to be raised up with Yahshua. So we were called to worship in spirit and truth. And though we may only talk about a few aspects, the list is great. Because there's so many mistakes in our lives that we need to correct. And then we just spend most of our life making more and more errors that leaves us wondering sometimes, why do I keep on sinning, you know? Some of us are called to different offices, but while we serve one another, we also serve Yahweh. As we see when the brothers do a special offering, that edifies the rest of the brothers. On top of bringing a smile to Yahweh, it edifies us, you know? So praise Yahweh for all those who stick their neck out and suffer persecution to further the work of Yahweh. If you hear his calling, like the scripture says, harden not your heart. Investigate it. See why it is that Yahweh is calling you. Why does he want you to come to him? You know, he wants you for a special purpose. So check it out. So may Yahweh help us to reach our goal through Yahshua. Amen.